How long haven't we been waiting for somebody to sing a couple of items to us? And the Lord answers our prayers in His time. He makes all things beautiful in His time. And that was beautiful this morning. Thank you. We really appreciated that. As I said, I'm going to be speaking on the one Spirit this morning. And we're going to be using the same text that we did last week. Our text for last week was 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. And we're going to be using that exact same text for our message this morning. 12, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13 says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." So we see we are baptized into one body by one Spirit. And we're going to have a look this morning at who that one Spirit is. I'm going to be referring to quite a few verses of Scripture. We will go through it very slowly so you can find those Scriptures. I haven't jumped about a lot. I've just gone into certain passages where we are close to one another. But we're going to be looking at a couple of verses of Scripture this morning about the one Spirit. Who is the one Spirit? And I'll be breaking my talk up into three parts. Who is the one Spirit? What is His role throughout eternity? And how do we identify Him? I think the last one is the most important. How do we identify Him? Because most people don't know how to identify the Spirit today. But first of all, who is the one Spirit? Who is this one Spirit that Paul is referring to? Many people think of the Holy Spirit as being some force out there. Many people think that the force of God, the force of good, is the Holy Spirit. Many people think that the force that overcomes Satan's evil is the Holy Spirit. Now, in a way, they are correct. It is the Holy Spirit that overcomes evil, but it is not a force. If you go through the Scriptures, you will never find that the Holy Spirit is referred to as it. He's always referred to as Him. In fact, the Holy Spirit, the one Spirit that Paul is talking about here, is God Himself. He's a person. He's the third person of the Trinity. And He's always referred to as Him. Now, many people say, well, you know, you might say that, but the Bible says that there is only one God. So how can God be three persons? Well, if you turn over to Genesis 1 verse 2, you will see that the Holy Spirit was actually part of creation. And we all know who created the world, don't we? We all know that the world was created by evolution. Now, we all know that the world was created by God. I'm just going to go off at a sidetrack for a little while. I've been thinking about this over a couple of weeks now, because one or two people have been talking to me about evolution. And there was just one thing that's been bothering me. Can you tell me why there's a male and a female? If evolution is evolution, why is there a male and a female? You don't need a male. You don't need a female. If we started from nothing and we evolved into all these males and females that we have, why did they become a male and female? Why couldn't we have just carried on as we were from nothing? Do you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes we look past the simplest things. The Bible tells us that in the beginning God made man and He made woman. He made both. But let's have a look at Genesis 1 verse 2. "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." So the Holy Spirit was there. The Spirit of God was there in the very beginning. The Holy Spirit is not some force. The Holy Spirit was there in the beginning. He was part of creation. You could say that all the three persons of God created the world. God the Father authored it. God the Son, God the Son ordered it. And God the Holy Spirit did the work of creation. He moved upon the face of the waters. For us as people, it's very difficult to imagine three persons being one. Because we always think in the physical form. But in the spiritual form, if you think of yourself, you are three persons. Every single one of us that is sitting here this morning has got three parts to our makeup. We have a body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit. If I walk down the street, somebody will say, "There's Alan," because they see my physical side. When I phone Arthur and I speak to Arthur, he says, "Hello, Alan," because he recognizes my voice. So that's already two parts that we know straight away. But then the third part is, my wife says, "Don't do that because your father will get angry. She knows my personality." Three parts. That's how we see that everybody is made up of three parts. Take a flower. A flower is the stem, the petals, and the leaves. Everything is made up of three parts. God is a Trinity. He's made up of three parts. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He's just given himself names that we can identify him with. And the Holy Spirit is as much God as what the Son is God. And as what the Father is God. This is why we need to be careful that we don't throw the Holy Spirit out with the bathwater. Because of the charismatic people and the way that they put all the emphasis on the Spirit, the more conservative Christians don't want to talk about the Spirit. Because we might start talking in tongues and we might get all funny. But I want to tell you this morning is that we need to worship the Holy Spirit as much as we worship God the Father and God the Son. But the Holy Spirit has not come to be worshipped. Because that's one of the things that we make a big mistake of. Many people say, "Oh no, the Bible says that you mustn't worship the Holy Spirit." Because Jesus said that when He comes, the Spirit, then He will lead you into all truth. He will not speak of Himself, He will speak of me. But that doesn't say that we all cannot acknowledge the Spirit. That doesn't mean that we cannot worship the Spirit. As we sang this morning, "Father, we adore you. Son, Jesus, we adore you. Spirit, we adore you." We don't adore Him above Jesus, but we adore Him as part of the Godhead. Therefore, we can worship the Spirit as well. But let's see, God, three persons. Turn over, if you will, to verse 26 of Genesis 1. "And God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth.'" Notice, "let us make man in our image." Well, Alan, couldn't God have been speaking to the angels? Couldn't God have been speaking about the angels? Well, let's even let Scripture answer for itself. Galatians 4, verse 6. Ephesians. Remember, to find Galatians is pretty easy. Because Gentiles eat pork. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.'" Now that's the wrong verse that I didn't want. I've lost my verse. I'm so sorry. I want Colossians chapter 2, verse 18. Colossians chapter 2, verse 18. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and the worshipping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up in his fleshly mind. In other words, we are not to worship angels. About 20 years ago, there was a tremendous emphasis on the worshipping of angels. There were books that came out worshipping angels. Have a look on a lot of cars that drive around, you'll see, "I worship angels," stickers that go on. But the Bible tells us that we are not to worship angels. We are to worship God. And therefore, when God says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, "Let us make man in our image," he cannot be talking to the angels. He must be talking about himself, because they are to be worshipped. God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But now, how do we know it's a spirit? This doesn't prove that the Holy Spirit is part of God. It proves that there was more than one person in God. But now if you turn over to Galatians 4 verse 6. "And because you are sons, God has sent forth his spirit of the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." Notice that. In Genesis 1, verse 2, we read the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. Yeah, in Galatians 4, verse 6, the Spirit of his Son. Therefore, the Spirit of the Father and the Spirit of the Son are the same Spirit. Therefore, we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. If we can just get that into our minds, we will understand the importance of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not some force out there. The Holy Spirit isn't just some imaginary force that knocks you over or anything like that. The Holy Spirit is a person. But what is his role? What is the Holy Spirit's role throughout all eternity? As we look up through the scriptures, we'll see that in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit always came upon people. And the reason why in the Old Testament the Holy Spirit came upon people is because the Holy Spirit could not enter into people because they were sinful. Alan, we're sinful. Well, how come the Holy Spirit comes into us? We're getting there. But you see, the Holy Spirit could not come upon or into anybody in the Old Testament because they were sinful. And the Holy Spirit is God, and God cannot tolerate sin. Therefore, the Holy Spirit came upon people. And what did he come upon people? Why did he come upon people? Because he came upon them to carry out God's purpose. Have a turn over to Judges, if you will. Judges chapter 3. Judges is between Joshua and Samuel. Judges chapter 3. For those people who are clever, they'd go to the index and they'll look it up in the index and then they'll know exactly where to find it. Judges chapter 3, verse 9. "And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel, who delivered them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel and went out to war. And the Lord delivered..." I'm not even going to try and say that name. Can any of you read that name out? Well, anyhow, we don't have to read all that. But what I wanted to point out here is that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Othniel to deliver the nation of Israel. The Spirit of God never went into Othniel, he came upon him. Have a look also at Judges 6:34. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew the trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. Notice the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he blew the trumpet. Judges 11, 29. I can go to hundreds of different scriptures in this, but I thought I'd just keep them in the same book so that we can get a bit of a pattern here. Judges 11, 29. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed over Gilead, and passed over Mizpah of Gilead, and from Mizpah of Gilead he passed over to the children of Ammon. So we see that the Spirit of the Lord came upon people. Also, if you don't mind, turn over to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 10:10. And when they came thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. 1 Samuel 11:6. And the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard those tidings, and his anger was kindled greatly. So we see that the Spirit of God, or the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of the Lord, came upon people in the Old Testament. I'm going to ask one question which I've asked before, but you don't have to answer it. I'll answer it for you. When did the Old Testament end? When Christ hung on the cross. Because even Christ, when he was on earth, the Holy Spirit came upon him. Turn over to Matthew chapter 1, verse 10. Matthew chapter 1, verse 10. And straightway, coming out of the water, he saw the heavens opened, and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. Luke 3:22 is the same thing. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. The Holy Spirit never indwelt people. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong here. Christ had no sin. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Son. Therefore, Jesus has the Holy Spirit. But to show the world that this was the chosen one, the Spirit came down in a bodily form and sat upon him, proving still to the others that the Spirit of the Lord came upon them. And as you go through the Old Testament and all the way up to the crucifixion of Christ, you'll find that the Holy Spirit came upon people. Why did it come upon people? To give them the power, to give them the wisdom, to give them the understanding, to give them the strength to do what God wanted them to do. So the Holy Spirit empowered them, but he came upon them. But when Christ died on the cross of Calvary and was buried and rose again the third day, the Holy Spirit then started to indwell people. Why could the Holy Spirit indwell people now? Because Christ paid the price of sin. Therefore, although we still commit sin, in the sight of God, we are no more sinful. Does that make sense? Understand that before Christ's crucifixion, before the price had been paid for sin, sin was accounted to us that we were sinners on this earth. But now that Christ has paid the price, the sin that we do has been paid for. Therefore, the Holy Spirit can enter within us. It's the same as when we one day go stand before God. Or right now, God sees you and me as sinless. Even though we are still sinners, even though we still sin, God sees us sinless. Why? Because he sees us through the blood of Christ. When we were young, they used to have a very clever trick. They used to take a piece of red paper and put a piece of dirty cloth behind it, and it would look white through the paper. How it worked, we don't know, but it worked. one of those sort of crinkly papers. Remember the old crinkly paper that you used to get? So we see that before Christ died on the cross of Calvary, the Holy Spirit came upon people to empower them. Now that Christ had died on the cross of Calvary, paid the price for sin, now the Spirit indwells them. But the Holy Spirit that indwells them still gives them the power, the wisdom, the strength to carry out God's work. You go through the scriptures and you see after Christ died on the cross of Calvary and the Holy Spirit was poured out on Pentecost, what happened? The apostles that were filled with the Holy Spirit began to speak in other tongues. They began to do miracles. They began to do signs and wonders. Why did they do signs and wonders? To prove that they were men and women of God. Why did they have to prove that they were men and women of God? Remember that the apostles preached a different gospel to the Old Testament. Remember that what I'm saying now? The apostles preached a different gospel to the Old Testament. Jesus preached a different gospel to the Old Testament. What did he preach? In the Old Testament, they had all the laws, and they preached about the coming Messiah. When Jesus came, he then preached, "I am the Messiah, I am here." He didn't say it blatantly like that, but that is what he said. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And when he died and rose again the third day, the apostles preached that the Messiah who was going to come has come. Therefore, the nation of Israel didn't believe them. Because all their life they've been taught, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming. Well, not Jesus, but the Messiah is coming, the Messiah is coming, the Messiah is coming. Now all of a sudden they say, the Messiah is coming, he's gone. They were preaching a different gospel. So therefore, for the people to believe him, for the nation of Israel to believe them, they had to do signs and wonders. They had to prove to the nation of Israel that we are God's chosen people. And who gave them the power? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwelt them, and they could do the signs and wonders. But of course, we all know that the nation of Israel, even though the apostles had all these signs and wonders, the nation of Israel still rejected their Messiah. They still rejected their gospel. And God raises up a 13th apostle, the Apostle Paul, who now goes to the Gentiles. He's a special apostle to the Gentiles. And guess what? He also does signs and wonders. Why does he do signs and wonders? Because he has the Holy Spirit living within him? No. The Holy Spirit gives him the power to do it. But the reason he does signs and wonders is to prove to the nation of Israel that he's also a man of God. Turn over, if you will, to Acts 13, verse 11. One of the biggest things we have to be very careful of is to, often we've got the saying that says, oh no, you know, the Apostle Paul is a special apostle to the Gentiles and he doesn't perform signs and wonders and miracles. The Apostle Paul performed signs and wonders and miracles. But he himself explains to us why. Acts 13, verse 11. And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee. This is Paul speaking here. And thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness. And he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. The Apostle Paul blinded somebody. That's the power he had. He said, you're going to be blind. You're not going to be able to see for a whole season. You're going to be blind. He was talking to Bar Jesus here, or Elymas, as he's also called, the sorcerer. He says, you're going to be blind. Now turn over to Acts 20. Actually, we go first Acts 19, 11 and 12. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Notice, a handkerchief. We have a man on TV nowadays that says, send us a donation and we'll send you a handkerchief to heal you. We've prayed over this handkerchief and you send us a donation and we'll send you the handkerchief and it will heal you. Charlatans. But anyhow, people say, but hang on, the Apostle Paul did it, so why can't we do it? The Apostle Paul had the Holy Spirit living within him. We have the Holy Spirit living within us. Why can't we do it? Because we don't have to prove anything. The signs and the wonders were to the nation of Israel to prove to them that I am a chosen of God. I am the one that has to go out and preach this message. Turn over to Acts 20, verse 9 to 11. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him and embracing him said, trouble not yourselves, for life is in him. Yeah, Paul raises somebody from the dead. Signs and wonders, miracles. What a fantastic man this is. He's full of the Holy Spirit. All these signs and wonders he can carry out now. He can do what is needed to be done. So we see that Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit and he carried out signs and wonders. But what happens to Paul? Does the Holy Spirit leave him? Does he become a non-believer? Because just a few years later, he writes certain things. Turn over to 2 Timothy 4, verse 20. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum, sick. Anybody know who Trophimus was? If you still got your finger in Acts, verse 19, I'm just trying to find the verse here. I can't find it now. But chapter 20, verse 4. And they accompanied him into Asia, Sopater of Berea and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus and Gaius and Deborah and Timotheus of Asia, Tertius and Trophimus. Trophimus was with him when he raised the man from the dead. And yet, yeah, Paul writes and he says, I've left Trophimus sick in Miletum. I can't help him. Had he become a non-believer? Had the Holy Spirit left him? No, there'd been a change in the economy. Turn over to to 1 Timothy 2, 5 to 23. 1 Timothy 5, 23. I'm really going crazy this morning, sorry. 1 Timothy 5, 23. Yet Paul is writing to Timothy and he says, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. The Holy Spirit. Surely, Paul, you can heal Timothy. Surely, if you go read in Timothy, you'll see that Timothy was also a believer. He also had the Holy Spirit living within him. Why? How do we identify the Holy Spirit? You see, most people think that the Holy Spirit, the signs and wonders that people did, identified that the Holy Spirit lived within you. Most people think that the signs and wonders that are being done, being performed today, is because people are full of the Holy Spirit. Most people think that speaking in tongues proves that you're full of the Holy Spirit. That was true before that which is complete was come. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 10. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 10. But when that which is perfect is come, that word perfect can be interpreted complete as well. A perfect thing. It's a complete thing. When that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. The signs and wonders were part. They were signs and wonders to show people that I am a man of God. You don't need to test me according to the signs and wonders that I perform. Oh, you know, Alan must be a man of God. He speaks in tongues. Can I talk in tongues for you now? Salamanda wanda ganda gudibon budu. That's speaking in tongues. Ek kan Afrikaans praat ook, wat ander mense nie kan praat nie. Ich bin ein Deutscher. Sprechen Sie Deutsch?
Jawohl.
That's good. You see, the thing is, I speak to you in a tongue, a language that you don't know, and you think I'm speaking in tongues. Does that mean I've got the Holy Spirit in me? I tell you what, I know of robbers and thieves and that they can speak Afrikaans. I know of robbers and thieves that can speak German. I know of vulgar people that can speak those languages. See, that doesn't prove that there's the Holy Spirit living within you. Some of the language that comes out of our own people outside there, I've never heard those words before in my life. So are they filled with the Holy Spirit? The people speaking in tongues in the Bible was to show to the people that were out there that they were a chosen, or they were God's people. Do me a favor, turn over to Acts chapter 2. And we'll finish off with this in a minute. Verse 5, Acts 2 verse 5. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and so on. You see, when the Holy Spirit came into the disciples on the day of Pentecost, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke in tongues and everybody heard them in his own language. So therefore, that was for a sign to the nation of Israel. Remember back in the Old Testament, God said, I will speak to this nation in tongues of other nations. And that's what he did on the day of Pentecost. He spoke to that nation, the nation of Israel. Remember, on the day of Pentecost, Hebrews were only to speak Hebrew. And these Jews stood up and they started speaking in different tongues. And everybody heard them and said, what's going on here? Are they drunk? You know they're not allowed to speak in other languages. They're only allowed to speak in English. Actually, Hebrew. But you see what I'm saying? So therefore, tongues was not a proof that the Holy Spirit was living in you, but at that time it was a proof to those people that those were people of God speaking to us. The signs and the wonders that they did. When Peter says to the man who was asking for alms, he says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. And he got up and walked. That's what we need to understand. That when, before that which is perfect had come, before that which is complete had come, they had to have signs and wonders. And to identify if a man was a man of God or not, they had to do wonders, signs, miracles, speak in tongues. Today, I don't have to do any sign or miracle to prove if I'm a man of God or not. All I have to do is preach the word of God, and you go and you check the scriptures if what I'm saying is the truth or not. But how do we identify if people have the Holy Ghost living within them today? Turn over to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3. 1 Corinthians 12:3. We identify them by seeing whether they live a victorious Christian life or not, but also, verse 3. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth God, Jesus accursed. Let me tell you what. When you hear a Christian using the name of Jesus in vain, doubt whether he has the Holy Spirit living within him. When you start using Jesus as a swear word, doubt whether he's got the Holy Spirit living within him. And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Spirit. That's how you identify if somebody has the Holy Spirit living within them or not. Jesus is the Lord. I obey what he says. I do what he says. He's the Lord. He's the creator of the universe. He is God. I have the Holy Spirit living within me. Because no man can say that unless he has the Holy Spirit living within him. Now that's not to say somebody can't verbalize it. I mean, the biggest lie in the world can verbalize it, but does he mean it? And no man can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. That's how you identify people. You identify people by the way they live, whether they have the Holy Spirit living within them or not. So we see that the Holy Spirit's identification of the Holy Spirit is simply by no man calls Jesus accursed if he has the Spirit of God living in him. And no man can say that Jesus is the Lord unless he has the Holy Spirit living within him. If you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Lord, you have the Holy Spirit living within you. You don't have to perform signs and wonders. Let's be honest. You know if you are a Christian or not. You know in your own heart of hearts whether you believe in God or not. Therefore, I don't need somebody to come and tell me you need to speak in tongues, otherwise you don't have the Holy Spirit living within you. I know I have the Holy Spirit living within me. Because I believe that God is my Savior. I believe that God is the creator of the universe. I believe that God created everything that we have here. I believe that God the Father authored it. I believe that God the Son ordered it. And I believe that the Holy Spirit carried it out. You believe that? You are a Christian. You have the one Spirit. Therefore, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. So if you believe it, then you and I are members of the same body because we've been baptized into the body of Christ. Nothing else is needed. Let us pray. Gracious and eternal Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this message this morning. We thank you that you have spoken to our hearts. And as we go our separate ways and live our separate lives, Lord, help us to remember that we are not separate. We are all members of one body, and that body is the body of Christ. And because we are members of the body of Christ, we live according to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. The Holy Spirit leads us each and every day. The Holy Spirit comforts us. The Holy Spirit gives us the strength to have our faith. Lord, the Holy Spirit carries out all those tasks. God the Father ordered the world to be created in the way it was created. God the Son gave the instruction to carry it out, and God the Holy Spirit carried it out. It's the same in our salvation, Lord. You authored that someone would pay for sin. God the Son came and died on the cross and paid for that sin. And the Holy Spirit guides our lives on a daily basis. Therefore, the Apostle Paul writes and he says, "And be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Be controlled by the Spirit. Because as you are controlled by the Spirit, so you live the victorious Christian life." We pray, Lord, that as we face this week and the weeks that lay ahead, that you will continue to strengthen us through your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.